It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 26th day of September, 2022. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room. If you pop by right this very minute, if you're listening live, well, you'll be greeted by early arrivers Theo and Anatole, and capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky. Alongside his trusty associate, pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. Steve! Have to do that, you know, it's in the contract. Yeah, hi, I'm Robin. It's More In Monday. And, well, you know the saying, head for the hills or you'll be up to your armpits and more ends. And they're, oh Lord, they're so out there, but we mustn't get ahead of ourselves. Because every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude. Because that's the only way this program stays on the air, and we are hanging by a thread at this point. But thanks. Thanks so much to our 26th, 25th, and 24th day of the month subscribers. That means thank you to Sharon. And thank you to Ralphs. And thank you to Emilio. Thanks as well to Peter, and thanks to Mark, and thanks to David, now in Oregon. Have you read Hadley versus Baxendale yet, David? Yeah, I don't know much about mills, and I don't know much about time, but I do know when it's Miller time. That's the official Hadley versus Baxendale joke. Thank you to Samson. Thank you so much for jumping in. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, all of you. Thank you, Nedia. Nedia took down our fundraising goal a bit on Friday. Thank you. Thank you, Nedia. So, where does that leave us? Well, basically, we're almost done with September, and about half of September, no, less than half of September is funded. The fundraising goal for today is $1,800. And so that means that total of... oh, I can't even say it out loud for what it is to get to the end of the month. Just, I can't. But we're at $1,800. And, well, that's where we are. So if anyone would like to help, I welcome it. We all do, because, you know, folks tune into this program because it means something to them. Now, as for Morans, let's jump right in, shall we? Where to go? Pooty, there seems to have been a lot of Russia news over the weekend. There are stories coming out of remote areas of Russia saying that there is nothing partial about the mobilization. Basically, he's clearing out rural villages and the like in far Siberia, with people being dragged, men being dragged into conscription to go and fight his dirty war in Ukraine. You crow Nazis! Never mind. While he continues to pretty much leave St. Petersburg and Moscow alone, because, the optics aren't good. And then over the weekend, we also had the news that Vlad Putin has granted Russian citizenship to Eddie Snowden. It was published today, a presidential decree listing newly minted citizens, I guess, I was about to say serfs, of Mother Russia. And Eddie's name was on the list. And he had said in 2020, Eddie had, that he was going to apply for Russian citizenship, but that he'd like to keep his U.S. nationality. You think that's going to work? More importantly, do you think Putin will now... I mean, he's already got American military, sort of. I mean, he was a contractor. Experience. You think Putin will order him to the front lines in Ukraine? But according to Russian law, he can hold a Russian passport without renouncing his American citizenship. Huh. So, so long and thanks for all the borscht. And also over the weekend, of course, the American disease found its way to Mother Russia. 7 children are dead at a school in Russia. 6 adults. Central Russia. A Russian dude opened fire in the school, and Putin described it as inhuman terrorist attack in Izvest. Shooter apparently belongs to neo-fascist group. Yeah, which is what he calls anybody who disagrees with him these days. He was wearing black top with Nazi symbols and balaclava. He was also a graduate of the school. And he was among the dead. As were 2 security guards and 2 teachers. Naturally, Putin will probably blame it on neo-Nazis. It's obviously work of neo-Nazis. And they say that they are investigating his adherence to neo-fascist views and Nazi ideology. Curiously, that attack also, a few hours previously, another man opened fire and maimed a Mother Russia army recruiter at an enlistment center in the aforementioned Siberia. Oh, well, I'm it's heartbreaking. It hurts here when it happens, and mothers and fathers in places like Mother Russia love their children no less. And speaking of which, our buddy Texas T made me aware of something. High school football is something near to a religion. Really? From gunfire? Oh, no. There's a link here. Uvalde High School won its first home game this past Friday, with a pair of plays in the waning seconds of the game to give them the victory. It was a morale booster, to say the least, in that shattered community. Apparently, Russians are fleeing to Georgia to stay out of the war. Has anyone told Brian Kemp? No, I know. Don't stop. Don't email. Thousands of Russian men are on the run. And one wave of them has poured into Georgia. The traffic jam going into Georgia is some 20 kilometers long. Some of them are in cars, some are in bicycles, some are walking. An individual named Nikita told Agence France-Presse once he was on the Georgian side of the Kazbegi border crossing, "I have no choice but to flee Russia. Why on earth would I need to go to that crazy war?" Nikita is 23 years old. "I'm no cannon fodder. I'm not a murderer. I don't want," might add, "I don't want to raise sunflowers." Denis, a 38-year-old man, told AFP, "Our president wants to drag all of us in the fratricidal war, which he declared on totally illegitimate grounds. I want to escape. To me, this is not a nice Georgia holiday. This is an immigration." Alexander said the mobilization was the final straw after 20 years of living under Vlad Putin's beneficent reign. There's a reason they're heading for Georgia, because Russians can enter and stay in Georgia for a year without a visa, which buys them time to try to get further away from Mother Russia. And Alexander said he's thinking about looking for asylum in another European country once his wife and baby are with him. Things are not going so well for Putin. And the experts out there are definitely pointing to the potential for things to get considerably worse for him. Even the propaganda folks at the Kremlin are getting a little squirmy. And over on state TV, the hosts are getting panicky. According to the Daily Beast and Julia Davis, who watches Russian state TV for the Daily Beast, she reported that Vladimir Solovyov and Margarita Simonyan were downright sad and despondent this weekend over the progress of what is taking place in the war. And you know what? I got to tell you, I have an in-studio guest. Brand new little 5-year-old. Layla is with us right now. Would you like to say hello? Yeah? Okay, come here.
Hello.
Hello. How old are you today?
I'm 5.
Yes, you are. And you're so sweet, and I love you so much.
And it's my birthday today.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And it's a super special birthday. Have you had fun today?
Yes.
I'm glad. You know, you speak so well.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm glad to have you, but would you like to get up here and sit here for a minute? Yeah? Okay. Oops. Watch your doe foot. Yeah, Mommy and Daddy are doing some things in the kitchen to prepare for the festivities. At least that's my understanding. So, we will sit back here together for a little while until Ferg comes and gets her. You know what? I had this in the stack. She said hello.
Oh, she said hello.
And told everybody it's her birthday.
It is.
Yes. And it's going to be wonderful.
Did you tell
birthday.
Everybody you're having an Elvis birthday?
No.
Okay, well, tell everybody.
I have an Elvis birthday.
Yeah, she's discovered Elvis, and she
cannot get off of it.
She can't. Yeah, she's enjoying the king.
We're going out to play.
Yes.
While Mommy fixes.
I think you should do exactly that. I love you, Layla. Okay, thank you. Oh, she's magic. Yeah, let's see. No, I just to get away from the morality and the blood and death and violence. I haven't seen breaking news that it has happened yet, but NASA is flying a spacecraft into an asteroid to see if they can deflect its orbit. Because at least NASA must have taken the meaning of that movie, Don't Look Up, seriously. Of course, Elon Musk is still out there and could probably play the role of the weirdo villain from the film. It is the Double Asteroid Redirection Test. DART. Hey, clever. They launched the ship from California last November. And it's rapidly approaching its target. When it hits, it'll hit at some 14,000 miles an hour. The asteroid is a moonlet named Dimorphos. Not Didymus, the much bigger asteroid. Neither of them are any threat to Earth, so good. That's a good first step. Let's not take it. But NASA, to their credit, wanted to see if it worked before a threat emerged. The asteroid is 530 feet tall, and it will happen at roughly 7:14 Eastern Time. NASA will live stream it. I don't know, maybe we'll check out the live stream when we get closer. So what NASA hopes to do is change the orbit of Dimorphos find out if they can reduce the orbit by some 10 minutes or so. And they'll watch with telescopes to find out. Meanwhile, NASA moved the Artemis rocket off the pad as an exercise in caution because, oh, here comes a hurricane. Ian, I think, and it's headed, warnings, you know, notices and et cetera, are going out to the Florida Gulf Coast. Yeah, I get it. Okay, I got a question for the. I got a question for the live community. Brother Deacon Asa, anybody else? Is headon.live coming in okay? I just had a note from Kim in New York, said, I hope all's well. I'm sorry to bother you again with this, but not only am I not able to get your program at headon.live, I can't even get on the site. I'm not able to get it via White Rose Society on neither my phone nor Mac. Help. I know I can listen to the podcast, but it's not the same. If you can tell me anything so that I can tell her, I would appreciate it. And by the way, Ralph's got us started today, kicking in $25. And she said, I hope others will kick in as well. Let's see, at $1,800, that is six, that's going back to, that's today, yesterday, or today, Friday, Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday, wasn't here on air Monday, so we're trying to fund two Friday on the Front Porches ago. No. Not even that. Actually, we're trying to, no, because I wasn't here for that Friday on the Front Porch. We're trying to fund Tuesday. Tomorrow will be three Tuesdays ago, but two Tuesdays ago. Okay, that's wild. Thank you. Thank you to Haley and Darlene and Lee and Ralphs and Billable. Everybody says headon.live is fine for them. I don't know quite what to tell. And she says she can't get it with she can't even get the live stream at White Rose either. So could we be blocked on some ISPs? I honestly don't know the answer. Thank you, Don. Don says loud and clear here in West Tennistan. That's interesting and encouraging. Theo says, hey, Robin, Portland and its surroundings have substantial Russian and Ukrainian populations, and they own businesses. The Russian businesses here do a good deal of nonprofit fundraising for Ukrainian relief. There's hope even in the face of the heartbreak. That is encouraging. And it just goes to show you what an autocrat and a dictator can do, even absent the will of the governed. Which, in its own right, is a reminder. Ron and Raleigh hipped us to this last week. Fascism. Oh, thank you, Andy the Angry Jew, and happy High Holy Days to you. Good in Chicago on headon.live. Thank you for that. Among other people, we know fascism is on the march. It has been for some time, but it is, as Ron and Raleigh pointed out, chilling when you see it coming home to the place where it was invented. So the party. Thank you, George. All well in Colorado. Thank you. The world is watching with some horror as the Fratelli d'Italia party is leading a far-right coalition to victory in Italy. Yeah. And they make no bones about it. They're fascists. They're absolutely fascists. And God, aren't the fascists happy. Here, then, is their fascist leader. Just a general reminder that not all having women candidates is not always a great thing in case you were wondering what fascism sounds like in Italian. Flavio, are you listening? Probably you can translate. Thank you, Tamara, coming in live there. Thank you, Lady V. And thank you to Jake. Giorgia Meloni is the chief fascist in Italy. And so she was shrieking to her fascist base yesterday.
Sogno una nazione nella quale le persone che hanno dovuto abbassare la testa per tanti anni, facendo magari finta che la pensavano in maniera diversa, se no sarebbero stati tutti cacciati, possano dire come la pensano e non perdere il posto di lavoro per questo.
She sounds nice. No. And just like her hero Mussolini, she identifies herself as a politica e giornalista. Remember, Mussolini started out as a journalist. And a socialist one at that. That changed. To the best I can tell, she is shrieking after, and she's talking to the fascists, okay? This is important. She's talking to the fascists. She is talking to her brown shirt base. After our victory, you can raise your heads and finally verbalize what you always thought, believe in. And this is not a rhetorical question. What does the EU do about this? Hungary is in the EU, and Viktor Orban is out there babbling about a day will come when they will split from the EU. Does the EU have room in it for openly self-identified fascists? Do they just ride it out and say, well, hopefully the Italians will come to their senses sometime soon? I don't know. Anytime fascism rears its ugly head, it should be crushed. You know, to quote Bob Marley, kill it before it grows. In a much different sense. So one wonders where it will spread next. Spain? Greece? I mean, there's already fascist movements in Greece, probably in Spain too. This is a legitimate question. This is a kind of a thought. Does democracy, by its very nature, give rise to fascism? It certainly feels that way. Fascists come to power through democratic processes because, well, you know, we the will of the people, right? Democracia. Rule by the people. And if the people say, hey, we want to be fascists and we want to goose step, will this government introduce goose stepping to the Italian military? Is there anywhere that Georgia Maloney has a hankering to conquer? Libya, maybe? Maybe the Dalmatian coast? After our victory, you can raise your heads and finally verbalize what you always thought, believe in. So I guess the idea is that it's always been there. It just had to go underground while it was out of favor. Will the Fosques come back as a symbol? You know, the rods and axes. Thank you, Andy. Thank you for jumping in and helping out. We are down to 1765 now. Thank you. Thank you, Andy. And no, we don't. Jake sending me Heaven 17. We don't need this fascist groove thing. No, no, we don't, Jake. Thanks for that. I'm sure she'll be great pals with Pooty. Because, well, his opposition to fascism is only nominal because he himself is more fascist than anything else. You know, fascists push people off of ledges. Fascists beat sex and gender non-conforming people to death. It's terrifying. Oh, and just right quickie like, thanks to John in Central PA. Curtsy and Kirsten Cinema took a little road trip over the weekend. I guess she wanted to maybe go and sample some Kentucky bourbon, or look at the horses in the bluegrass. I'm sure she didn't go to Kentucky to look at the devastation of eastern Kentucky. No. Stand by. No, Curtsy and Kirsten Cinema went to the McConnell Leadership School at the University of Louisville. And she gave a little speech there, and she said that she was so proud to have forged a friendship with Addison, Moscow, Mitch McConnell, the most awful thing ever to sleaze, slime, creep, crawl, or slither out of Colbert County, Alabama. She said she'd forged a friendship with him that's rooted in our commonalities. And what would those commonalities be, Kirsten? Just what exactly are they? Oh, I know what's you have in common with Mitch McConnell. You both love the filibuster as long as it suits your needs. You are both enamored of a rhetorical procedural device in the United States Senate that goes to make it even more undemocratic than it was originally conceived. And it was conceived to be absolutely undemocratic. Rooted in our commonalities. Well, the minute I saw that, the first thing I thought is, Moscow Mitch done put on his Sunday go to meet in courtin' suit like Uncle Jed done. And he's a courtin' Kyrsten Sinema. Depending on how the 2022 midterms go, you know, 6 weeks, y'all, 6 weeks till then. Depending on how that goes, if she gets reelected, I can see her, because she has no loyalty to anyone. The people who have worked for her in the past and worn their shoes out walking precincts for her and bruised their knuckles knocking on doors and begging people to vote for her, they have said time and time again that Kyrsten Sinema has no loyalty left in her whatsoever to anyone who isn't named Kyrsten Sinema. So it makes when I saw the story, it made a lot more sense that he would be courting her. He will never get Joe Manchin, because I know, never say never, but the fact of the matter is Joe Manchin has it good. I got in the car the other day, turned on National Petroleum Radio, and actually heard some wag punditizing about the possibility of Joe Manchin primarying Joe Biden. And my eyes about bugged out of my... What? And then some palaver about how Joe Manchin is uniquely positioned to speak to American voters that Joe Biden just can't reach. But Joe Biden, or Joe Manchin, owns the Democratic Party in West Virginia. Yeah, granted, there was a palace coup, but he'll just ignore them until they go away. But Curtsy and Kyrsten? Oh. Well, I think the fact that he invited her to his leadership institute. Shame on the University of Louisville for giving him a leadership institute. Even if he bought it with Elaine's money. Hey, Mama, can I have a few million dollars to endow a leadership institute? Well, all right, Addison, if you must. Jesus. Oh, note coming in from Lady B. I know you're going to get around to offering up some speculation as to why countries who lived under fascist rule would continue to think that returning to it will make things better. A friend of mine was saying that about Cubans and Venezuelans who live in Florida and vote for DeSantis. Some of our freedoms are an affront to their religious beliefs and patriarchal rule. What gets me is if they like living that way, why the fuck come here? I could be wrong. I'm tired of this shit. To play us out, every day the bucket falls to the well, but one day the bottom will drop out. Yes, one day the bottom will drop out. And, you know, Lady B, the answer may be simpler than what we think. I kind of take it for granted because I've watched it happen in so many ways in this country. During the time in which my grandparents and parents were alive, that generation, largely, would have destroyed the political careers of anybody who said that Social Security and Medicare had to go. Because they had living memories of what age poverty looked like in America. And it was a horror if you read the history. But along comes the boomers and the Gen Xers who never saw any of that. You know, we reached a place in this country where a guy who literally was able to survive and go to school when his daddy died of a massive heart attack and he's still young on Social Security benefits, survivor's benefits, and he went all the way to the Congress of the United States, never having held a more serious job than the driver of the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile, who waited tables at a little Tex-Mex joint down the hill from the Cannon House office building. And later bragged that he had been thinking about getting rid of Social Security and Medicare since he was standing around the keg at the fraternity kegger as a college student while his tuition was being paid for by the people of the United States via Social Security. I'm talking about Paul, Eddie Munster, Granny Starver, Ryan. And the Republican Party actually nominated him to be their vice presidential candidate, their running mate to the Bishop Willard Binders Full of Women Romney. Because, to cite that line from John Borman's Excalibur that I love so much, when Nicol Williamson playing Merlin says, "Remember, remember, for it is the doom of men that they forget." And I don't know if that's Nicol Williamson or halfway to Katharine Hepburn, but we'll just have to live with it. But we do forget. Out of sight, out of mind. And fascists and right-wingers, and look, at this point in time, I don't know. I think it would take a crowbar to separate the white nationalist Americans from the fascist Italians. But they know that that's when they strike. When people have forgotten. When times get a little bit tough. I mean, look. Not Wednesday, but still, I can do this. In Genesis, you know, Moses goes down and frees the children of Israel from bondage in the land of Egypt. And at first they're all like, "Yay, we're free, woo, come on, let's go." And then they get a little ways out in the desert and they're like, "Fuck you, Moses. You led us all the way out here in the desert to starve, at least with Pharaoh. We had three hots and a cot. We even had bricks. We even had straw to make the bricks with until you came along." And there's always someone there saying, "You know, it'll be better if you just let me run the show." In the case of the Exodus, it's, you know, the party that gets thrown and the golden calf that gets made while Moses is up chewing the fat with the great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky. Hence the Appalachian phrase for being impecunious, namely, brokered in the Ten Commandments. Usually we add in, "and poor as Job's turkey." Job's turkey was a mighty paltry thing. But that's how they succeed. And again, you know, fascists are really, really good at leveraging art and culture and twisted histories to their end. That's why, you know, that's why Hitler's people hired Hugo Boss to design those spiffy uniforms. And that is why Mussolini, you know, people, I want to go back to Rome. I was there when I was 15 years old. I want to go back so badly. 45 years ago, it'll soon be. I want to go back so badly. But the fact of the matter is that if you look at, say, 19th century literature and history and commentary, the ruins of ancient Rome were pretty much grown up and grown over in similar fashion to what one might find in the in the jungles of Central America with, you know, Mayan pyramids. It was Mussolini who ordered the clearing and restoration of the ruins of ancient Rome in order to prop up the legitimacy of his fascist regime and sell it as the natural extension and re-emergence of the glory that was Rome. When only 200 years earlier or so, maybe not even that, was it Percy Bysshe Shelley who wrote Ozymandias? Two trunkless legs in the sand. Oh dear, we're going to have to look up Ozymandias, aren't we? Of course we are. Yeah, it was Shelley, Percy Bysshe Shelley. I met a traveler from an antique land who said two vast and trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert. Near them on the sand, half sunk, a shattered visage lies whose frown and wrinkled lip and sneer of cold command. By God, that's almost a word portrait of Mussolini standing on his balcony, isn't it? Tell that its sculptor well those passions read, which yet survive, stamped on these lifeless things, the hand that mocked them and the heart that fed. And on the pedestal, these words appear: my name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair. Nothing beside remains. Round the decay of that colossal wreck, boundless and bare, the lone and level sands stretch far away. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair was initially intended by the author to say, look what a badass I am, but time has a way of changing the meanings of things. And so what was to be an extension of the glory and reemergence of the glory that was Rome under Mussolini turned into a nightmare of his own self-destruction. His and Carla's. I've already seen a picture, a picture of Giorgia Meloni upside down on social media. Sic semper fascisti. Because, you know, Mussolini and Clara Petacci hanging upside down from a gas station sign in Milan. But fascism makes promises, Lady B. And for a while, the promises look valid. People want to be proud to be an Italian. Proud to be a German. When there's nothing to be proud of. You could just as easily be proud of wherever you were born. But it's all accidental. It's all just lucky egg, lucky sperm stuff. And fascists love to play upon that. I mean, look, we've got our own fascist anthem. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. No singing, damn it, 1765, that's the hole we're in. But it's inherently dumb, but when the drums start drumming and the horns start blaring, and you hear the sound of marching feet stomping through the street, you're in a crowd, and the mob mentality will take over. You can talk to an individual, you cannot talk to a crowd. Unless you're seeking to whip them up. We saw that with our own eyes on January the 6th, 2021. And we are still dealing with the aftermath from it. And of course, yes, fascism allies itself with whatever the dominant faith system is. Because between the authoritarianism of the state and the church's ability to sell tickets out of hell and into heaven, well, that's a pretty powerful 1-2 punch now, isn't it? The state can make your life a living hell on earth, and the church can make your life an absolute hell in the great beyond. And people who have not learned buy into it. And they can be cajoled into marching all too damned easy. And so it's not so much a matter of people thinking that returning to fascism will make things better. It's people who have never experienced fascism thinking that fascism will make things better. I mean, fascism, it gives you a convenient set of people to hate. Jews, atheists, differently abled people, people who refuse to go quietly into little sexual and gender boxes like they were told to at birth. And there is the source of all the problems. It's them. It's always them. It's never us. It's always them. You know, Ron and Raleigh said, how about the good old U.S. of A? With all the Republicans hooting about Christian nationalism, what is that old quote? When fascism comes to America, it will be wrapped in the flag and carrying a Bible. I've been wondering, what would a Christian America look like? Well, we're getting a pretty damn good idea, aren't we, Ron? And of course, it almost goes without saying that well, there she is, there they are, the dipshit twins, talking about Clanny Oakley and Lauren Bobblehead Boobert. I mean, Clanny Oakley, Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, and Marginal Trailer Queen, and they're just proud as punch that the fascists have won in Italy. And pointing to Italy as well as a right-wing fascist electoral surge in Sweden, Clanny Oakley tweeted, "The entire world is beginning to understand that the woke left does nothing but destroy. November 8th is coming soon, and the USA will fix our House and Senate. Let freedom reign." Dumbass, it's ring, but never mind. Yes, she wants to reign. And then there was Marginal Trailer Queen. She said, "Congratulations to Giorgio Meloni." Honey, it's Georgia. "But thanks for misgendering your fascist pal. Nothing could make me happier." And to the people of Italy, and she linked to a speech from Meloni in 2019 in which she complained that there were attacks on Italian national identity and religious identity. And she said, "We will defend God and country and family." It was a 15-minute speech.
So che vicepresidente del 13° Congresso Mondiale delle Famiglie, adesso
ho il piacere, anche se appena arrivata la
The World Congress of Families. There's always
palco Giorgia Meloni, presidente.
There's always a family tie-in.
Giovane mamma. E poi le facciamo anche un bel applauso perché è l'unico segretario donna che abbiamo. Benvenuta, piacere.
Grazie, grazie, grazie. Sono appena arrivata, quindi.
I was doing the ironing. Yeah, but by that she means she was maybe bashing some leftist skull in with an iron rod. I don't know.
Che dicevo, la possibilità di avere sostegni economici per quelle donne che si impegnano e che preferiscono portare a termine la gravidanza, anche nel caso in cui volessero dare quel bambino in adozione.
And there's the abortion blather.
Abbiamo chiesto una moratoria in sede.
We have called for a moratorium at the UN to declare womb for rent a universal crime. Remember, in Louisiana there are two theocrats who are trying to make it punishable by a felony prison sentence for a doctor to perform in vitro fertilization because it involves the destruction of fertilized eggs. What does that say about, you know, women who once a month, roughly, shed an unfertilized egg? You know. A period. Well, I guess they're murderers too, because women are supposed to be perpetually pregnant in the fascist wonder world. Womb for rent. And then she goes full fascist.
With
another piece straight out of the playbook.
Per dichiarare l'utero in affitto reato universale, perché quella sì. È una mortificazione ed è una violenza.
It's degrading and abusive of women to control their own bodies, she explains.
Vogliamo portare in Europa questo tema, perché è scandaloso che l'Europa non abbia tra le sue linee prioritarie di finanziamento il tema della natalità.
Great replacement theory, low birth rate.
Se non affrontiamo questo, tutto il resto di quello che facciamo non serve a niente.
If we don't address the low birth rate, everything else we do is pointless.
Programma Erasmus per la mobilità, se ha un programma Horizon per la ricerca scientifica, non possa avere un programma famiglie.
We need a program for families to increase the birth rate. Remember, the Third Reich had a program, you know, they sent the gay boys off to the ovens, and the trans girls went off to the ovens. But they said, y'all can be lesbians if you want to, but you'd still have to have babies for the Reich. Jesus. I mean, it really is fascism on the march.
Diciamo, vi sembrano così folli. Vi sembrano così oscurantiste. Vi sembra che vogliamo togliere.
They think it's unenlightened that we want to take away rights. The Middle Ages, you know. The Middle Ages was also the time of the cathedrals and the abbeys. Yeah, and a universal state religion, a theocracy.
A ben guardare, il Medioevo sarebbe anche l'epoca delle cattedrali e delle abbazie, l'epoca in cui sono nati.
The founding of the comuni, the universities, the parliament, the epoch of Dante, Petrarch, Boccaccio, Saint Francis, Saint Benedict. People who don't know where Matera is, let's not expect them to have read history books. Ha, 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 the fascist laugh. Yeah. And now she is going to run the Italian government, even though in a low turnout election, her party only got 25% of the vote. And I'm not being a curmudgeon here, but I just want to point out something. For those of us, and I'm one of them, who from time to time have said, you know, a parliamentary form of government might be better. maybe not. I wonder I wonder if the Italian people will find themselves having a taste for fascism. You know, when the brown shirts get busy. Or maybe it's a new and friendlier kind of fascism. But I somehow doubt it. Because after all, look at our Proud Boys. Look at our Free Percenters and Oath Keepers and Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command Headquarters Executive Staff. They are all violent fascist movements. Because dissent cannot be tolerated. And for all the barking and grunting and howling and carrying on of the right wing about Antifa, remember, the anti-fascists only show up and smash when the fascists show up first. Anti-fascists are defensive in nature. Which brings me to something else. Second, I'm responding to Kim in New York. I saw a post from one of my sisters today. And she is she's a brilliant woman. And what a wit. she posted a little earlier. So apparently red-blooded American alpha males are afraid of, seriously bothered by, or negatively obsessed with, it's a list, cities, mermaids, masks, parts of speech, children's hospitals, elves, the uterus, graduate-level legal doctrines, cop-haters, but also the FBI, blue hair, trains, rainbows, vegetarian sausage, and solar panels. And I added, dwarves, too. The elves always get the first billing. Look, the elves are so pretty. And then they forget about the right-wingers that are hating the dwarves, too. And you know what? That's sort of an elemental thing of fascism, too. Oh, and speaking of which, the Patriarch of Moscow, Archbishop Krill? Really? You're named after a tiny sea creature? Well, whatever. at one point, he was photographed with a big old honking Swiss watch on his wrist, and then Russian state media airbrushed the Swiss watch out. And nothing says vow of poverty like a Rolex Oyster President or a Bruget. Now, he made a pronouncement this weekend, and it was one of those history doesn't repeat itself, but it oftentimes rhymes kind of things. Archbishop Krill. Declared that anyone who dies fighting in Ukraine for Mother Russia will be cleansed of all sins. And therefore, go straight to heaven. Do not pass purgatory. Do not linger in purgatory. Just go straight to the pearly gates and be welcomed in your blood-soaked self by the Prince of Peace himself. So, Where have we? Oh, yeah. And there was Georgia Maloney talking about St. Benedict. And then, of course, there's Bernard of Clairvaux, who preached the first crusade sermon, in which he promised some 1,000 years ago that everybody who signed up to go on crusade and slaughter Muslims and Jews and anybody who got in the way of their steel, would immediately have remission of all of their sins and present right there before the, after they got their heads lopped off, they'd be right there at the pearly gates and, "Let me in, Bernard of Clairvaux said I got a pass." And so consequently they donned tunics of white with a great red cross emblazoned across the chest. And the Crusades were born. And now in the second year of the third decade of the 21st century of the Common Era, here's the Russian patriarch preaching the same damned thing. Worked then. Why wouldn't it work now? I mean, honestly, who still falls for this crap? Really? I mean, I can understand a medieval knigget who liked to go out and slaughter people anyway. You mean I get to do it for free? And signs on. And as Ralphs notes, the Crusaders could do whatever they wanted, and I do mean whatever they wanted. And Ralphs is correct. And so we see all these little intersections. Steve Scalise, the guy who's from Louisiana, the House Minority Whip, who is so goddamn dumb he almost got murdered with an assault rifle, and when as soon as he was able to do it, went right back and bowed down and kissed the NRA's ass. I mean, what a moron! He showed up on Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda yesterday, declaring it's interesting to see that Europe is leading the way by throwing out socialists with conservatives and great bold conservative women like Maloney and Truss. Liz Truss, the ugly little... And that's not a nasty little right-wing creature in the UK. We need to bring that kind of conservatism to the United States. When they tell you who they are, believe the first time, believe them. Steve Scalise, the second most powerful person in the Republican caucus in the House of Representatives, just said he wants to bring goose-stepping fascism to the United States of America. You cannot say that and actually uphold your oath to the Constitution of the United States of America. You cannot. Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America. He described that speech that I just played you clips from with the St. Benedict and the abbeys and the cathedrals and all that horseshit as spectacular. And she's been here, Maloney has. She spoke at CPAC. She is a fellow traveler with Stevie Three Shirts, the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells, racist Bannon. I told you, stay away from Bandit. And Bannon himself identified the Fratelli d'Italia, the Brotherhood of Italy, which is the name of her party, as one of the old fascist parties. He knows who they are, and he's all about it. Interviewing her in 2018, racist Bannon said, "You put a reasonable face on right-wing populism, you get elected." And here they are. And meanwhile, she's also said that she's definitely down with the far right in the United States and the far bloody right in Israel. And Kasim Rashid is right. Late last night, he said, "Hungary has a fascist leader. Sweden's far right party just won. And Italy has now elected a fascist leader. 80 years after World War II, fascism is rising across Europe, and if Americans aren't careful, the MAGA GOP will usher in that same fascism here. We cannot let that happen."
Yeah, but Joe Biden didn't give me a pony. Nancy Pelosi's ideologically impure.
I hope we're not as screwed as sometimes I fear we are. And there is some pushback to all of these American fascists ballyhooing Georgia Maloney. And Dr. Kevin Roberts, the head of the Heritage Foundation, which is as powerful as any right-wing think tank is in the United States, more powerful probably than any think tank in the United States. Well, Dr. Kevin Roberts jumped right out there and said, that it was great that she was elected. Over at ABC, they had a headline, "How a Party of Neo-Fascist Roots Won Big in Italy." A century after Benito Mussolini's 1922 March on Rome, which brought... How about that? The beer hall putsch and weren't they both 1922? Brought the fascist dictator to power. Maloney is poised to lead Italy's first far-right-led government since World War II and Italy's first woman premier. That from the AP. Yes to the natural family. No to the LGBT lobby. Yes to sexual identity. No to gender ideology. Those were her words that she shrieked at a rally in a report by the Associated Press. And, of course, Dr. Kevin Roberts, who runs the Heritage Foundation, he came there from the Texas Public Policy Foundation, where he helped to spread Lone Star fascism. And he's the former president of the Wyoming Catholic College. In 2015, he said the college would no longer accept federal aid, and said the reason for that was because the school's religious beliefs despise LGBTQ people. Robert said that his university loves all people and has charity towards all, but they would have problems with the admissions and employment of transgender individuals or people with a same-sex sexual orientation. He got on Twitter yesterday and said, if exit polls are right, then conservatives will come to power in Italy just weeks after conservatives in Sweden won. This can be a trend. Conservatives everywhere need to define the choice as what it is. Us versus them. Ta-da! Everyday people versus globalist elites who've shown they hate us. And see, they're always put upon. Fascists are always victims. They've got more goddamn guns than Carter has little liver pills, but they're the victims. Tom Nichols, who is no liberal, said, the president of a D.C. think tank explains how he's just a regular guy helping the little people against the globalists and not at all aligned with a political movement that trades in hateful rhetoric. And that was just one of several. Even a right-winger went after Kevin Roberts. Brian Riedel, who's a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, no denizen of left-wing politics, said, I'd just like a party that stands for free markets, less government, originalist judges, strong defense, and against woke excess. Count me out with this Pat Buchanan-style tinfoil hat populism. Woke excess? You mean acknowledging the rights of marginalized people in marginalized communities? Yeah, we understand. That's not for you. And fuck you and your originalist judges with a 9-foot cactus. Because originalism is the biggest judicial fraud that's ever been perpetrated upon the American people. Then there's Aaron Ross Powell, who used to be an editor for the Cato Institute, another right-wing outfit, said, when the president of your think tank is cheering on the electoral victories of actual fascism, that's probably a sign it's time to resign from the organization if you're an employee, or pull your dollars if you're a donor. American conservatism mustn't continue down this path. Then there was Jay Stooksbury. He's identified as a writer and editor and recovering libertarian. Good for you. Careful, Cav. If I saw somebody with the title PhD and CEO of one of the largest, most influential think tanks in D.C., I'd assume they were one of the global elite. Us versus them populism is some raunchy, anti-intellectual, and dangerous thinking, my dude. My dude. And then, calling it for what it is, Jay Bookman said, American fascists crawling out of their holes. Hi, Jay. We've been talking about them scurrying out from behind the baseboards for a decade. Welcome to the party. We see you in your cutesy words. You want to embrace fascism? We will stop you and your ilk. Our democracy will destroy your fascism. That was David Sugarman, a lawyer in Oregon. And then there was David Avalone, who responded, Lashana Tova, you absolute fucking Nazi scumbag. Stop being a pants-shitting coward. Just say Jews when you mean Jews. Responding to his globalist elites. Those are, and he's absolutely right. Those are cutesy little fascist anti-Semitic code words. Just like any time somebody barks about George Soros or the Rothschilds. Or bankers, as in the bankers. They're here. And this is, and from our perspective in the United States, You know, this is one of those the calls are coming from inside the house kind of moments. They want a global fascist empire. And they don't care who they have to kill to get it. Because that's what fascists are. And by the way, we are nearing the halfway point of the program. This is a conversation-based program. If you should like to say have your say herein, I welcome you to so do. You know, the stress line is 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. And the Skype line is, of course, Bob Kincaid Horn. And you're welcome on either line. I just wonder. I honestly and earnestly wonder if Joe and Jane Sixpack, whoever they are, ever think about this stuff? Or is it nothing but gas and gas prices and groceries with them? You know, we are constantly told that the bottom line with American families is how much it costs to live. And it's understandable. But it's not all there is. And these American fascists, they know that just coming out and saying, the Jews, well, that's not going to play so well. So they find a different them. And I, and people like me, are it. I had a hard time shaking that thing that happened to me last week. And maybe some folks don't understand why I'm having a hard time. But I am. And that guy did not look like, you know, an intellectual heavyweight. He had to be taught the hate and disgust that he manifested when he looked at me. I haven't seen hatred like that in a very long time. There was a willingness to act on an animal level. And fascism brings that out in people. And, you know, without even knowing him or what his name is, because by God, I'd identify him if I did. But without knowing those things, I can still know things about him, and I can know that he had to have been previously weaponized. And then it's not much of a reach to find out where. A lot of, you know, we typically tend to ascribe this fascist weaponization, this stochastic terrorism, to places like that we're used to seeing do it, you know, Fox News. But a lot of them are getting weaponized in online spaces now. And it is so monumental, and I mean, this is a breathtaking level of stupidity. I saw a post earlier today. This came from one of those men's rights forums, or incels, or MGTOWs, or whatever. This is hockey puckish. And while it's extreme and the stupidity is towering,
this is part of the problem. Many mothers bathe together with their newborn babies. This isn't wrong if the baby is a girl. But when it is a boy, it's not good. Understand something. Although this act is done out of innocence and ignorance, the mother is opening up a stream of energy from herself to the baby son. What happens here is spiritual diffusion and spiritual osmotic actions. Osmotic, well, that's a big word for you, Cletus. Know this thing. Water transports materials. Water moves prayers. Water can add or remove from a thing, and ultimately water is a universal spiritual solvent. By spiritual diffusion, feminine energy is transported from a place of higher concentration, the mother, to a place of lower concentration, the son. By spiritual osmotic actions, masculine energy passes from a place of lower concentration, the boy, to a place of higher feminine energy concentration, the mother, because at such a young age, when the boy's masculine energy is still developing, it leaves him through his semi-permeable baby body into the mother. The boy's body, over time, becomes bombarded by antigen feminine energy. People believe this. This isn't just the weirdness of the online types who never touch grass and never see the outside of the basement. They walk among us. And it is part and parcel of an attempt to explain something that they would rather did not exist, namely people like me. But I would be remiss if I didn't also mention people like Benny Shapiro, or Lobster Daddy Jordan Peterson, who actually tells stories about dreams he's had of having sex with his own grandmother and is somehow lifted up as a leader in the masculinity movement. And of course, Joe Rogan, Pink Shrek himself, who knows less about gender and less about sexuality than a hog knows about Sunday suits, but brays proudly his ignorance each and every day. And thinking back on it, that guy Thursday was probably, you know, he kind of fit the profile of a Joe Rogan listener. No neck. Probably half out of his mind on steroids. And can't hold his beer. Hey, thank you, Mark, down in Florida. Thank you so much. Mark just took us down to 1745. Hey, that's the year that the Kincaid boys got to Old Virginia with a price on their heads, running away from the English king's headsman's axe. 1745, thank you. Thank you, Mark. Mark sends a message, anti-fascism. Thank you, sir. Jesus, says Lady B. Aren't most children breastfed? One would hope. It's not always the case. But, you know, we saw from the formula crisis just how many aren't. But there's a long list among right-wing men of things that are gay. including what was his name? Devin Nunez? No, not Devin Nunez. Well, anyway, the dude that leads the white nationalist party that pals around with marginal trailer queen, who said that having sex with women is gay. Having heterosexual relations is actually a homosexual act. I can't sort it out. The stupidity is utterly breathtaking. But they have a sort of bizarre circular reasoning in which it all makes sense to them. Oh, that's very nice. Thank you, Theo. Theo says, hey, Robin. Hey, Theo. One subculture where intolerance doesn't sell at all is among my pagan Wiccan brothers, sisters, comrades at an autumn equinox, Mabin, I know the word, observance this last weekend. I was reminded how many of our family are trans men and trans women who are accepted and accept without a hint of reservation. We're everywhere, including the resistance. Kind of makes me wonder if there's a handy local coven here somewhere. Be nice to have somewhere to have holidays at. Spiritual osmosis, Emilio says, that idea has a lot of potential if people actually had spirits or souls, but since we're purely physical beings, that's complete nonsense. I love how they're using Wikipedia to science-ify their nonsense. Yeah, osmosis. That's a fancy science-y word. That's the ticket. Yeah. Truth. Truth, Emilio. Jeremy in Vermont. Oh. That's the subject line. Oh. So it was too many baths that made me who I am? No problem. Say no more. No more baths or showers from here on out. I'll see how long society chooses to accept me in that condition. No, Jeremy. The damage is, you can shower and bathe all you... It's the shower. It's the bathing with mama. Don't talk about mama. And you know what else? I was just thinking about it. A lot of mothers, when they're out, like, in the store or whatever, and they've got their kids with them, they will take their little boy children with them into the ladies' room to go potty. Now it all makes sense. When you swim around in this stuff for a while, it begins to, I mean, huh? Yeah. Oh, cowbell. First of the evening, I think. And that's for Lady B. Having sex with women is gay? I'll bet Lindsey Graham would vehemently disagree. I'll just let that. Yeah, probably so. Let's do, now that we are at the halfway point of the program, and I've filibustered an hour and a half, and we are down to 1745. Oh, God. You know, we can stay away from the dreaded $2,000 fundraising hole if we can raise 46 more bucks. And that way we would only be at $19.99, and everybody who's ever been in a store knows that $9.99 is far, far cheaper than $10. Maybe. Girl can dream. Hey, Todd.
Hey.
Sup?
Well, wouldn't you like to know? Look.
Oh, is that how this is going to go? Is that what this is going to be tonight? Is it really?
I honestly, about, I guess, maybe 3.5 minutes ago or less, when you said that someone proclaimed that people having heterosexual sex with gay, like, I don't understand. You gotta explain that to me. I missed out.
Well, I'm the wrong girl to do that, because I can't sort it out either. That's just how these incels are.
I mean, is that real? What the fuck?
Yes, that's real. I played the clip on the air. Dude is a leader of a national white nationalist Nazi movement and declare and proudly proclaimed the fact that he has never had sex with anybody. I'm willing to, I'm betting that's not true. But then went on to say that, yes, it would make him gay if he had sex with a woman. Don't hate the messenger.
This explains a lot then of what we're dealing with here. These folks are,
and the guy's rolling in money. He had a big counter counter whatever meeting to CPAC. And Marginal Trailer Queen went there, and they and there was a big crowd of people, and they roared and they brayed and they grunted and they hooted. They're white nationalist Christian, see also Nazi ideology.
Wow. I'm gonna stop saying wow. Yeah, oh boy. I just don't.
It's not every day that I get the oh boy from you.
I don't think I've said it.
You're a little tongue tied right now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Feels weird, don't it?
These folks are. So
you're making phones and phonemes that aren't even words right now, Todd. So I mean, I get it.
It's difficult. It's because I have a logical mind, and it's just like, what? Like, you have a platform. These people have a platform, and logic, beguiles them. They just can't deal with it. What the fuck? These are the motherfuckers who got made fun of.
It's like a shot of rot gut liquor. I mean, it's not going to be good for you, but. Wow.
You do it and you hope for the best, and then there you are in Charlottesville talking about dudes are not replacements. Jesus.
Yeah, and you're all Pink Floyded up and you're feeling that warm thrill of confusion, that space cadet glow.
Like, we're doing the right things. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. And that was the point. In America, everything should have stopped for 2 days. No Walmart, maybe gasoline. You gotta have gasoline, but everything should have shut down for 2 days when that happened. Because that's just too much. To accept that, no. You see where we are now.
I'm so old, Todd. I can remember when we said that the internet would open up an information superhighway that would lead to greater knowledge and understanding. Oh, what sweet summer children we were!
Oh, the halcyon days of the would-be president. Who actually won the election, but was selected out. Jesus, why'd you have to bring it up? This just still pisses me off.
Sorry.
Now, that whole, seriously, the whole trajectory of this country would be different had Gore, just been allowed to be the rightful president that he was supposed to be. It's amazing how that's gotten lost in the sauce there. You don't hear anybody talking about it. So I don't know if anyone heard. It's just so much. I hadn't talked to you in a while on the show.
Yeah.
There's a program on NPR called Think, and it was very interesting today. They had one of the features was an English instructor from two schools of higher learning in the Midwest. And apparently she had some mental health issues. And they were talking about the DSM. And I'm glad that it was on there because it's important, because a lot of folks will understand the raging disputes in psychology between neuroscience and some of the other disciplines and the theories. And that's why, neuroscience is a science. That's why there's this camp, DSM people, it is subjective. She just had it laid out and she was right. This is what turns off a lot of people to social science, because the DSM is very subjective. That's why it's not neuroscience. That's why neuroscience is neuroscience. And so I would encourage anyone to listen to that, because this is very informative. And it's a shame, because now we're going to have probably two generations of young people who won't be able to afford to attend institutions of higher learning to understand what I'm even talking about, because they won't have the opportunity.
Well, remember, there's a... In modern right wingery, there is an upper echelon, an elite who are highly educated. Think William F. Buckley.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
And they like to pontificate as if what they're saying is intelligent, and they rely upon people whom they encourage not to study, not to train their minds, to validate and adopt the horse shit that they promote. Does that make any sense?
It does.
It goes all the way back to Hofstadter and the paranoid strain in American politics, 1964, and it should be required reading in 2022.
Because now we look back, you look at Barry Goldwater, you look at some of these folks.
Well, and Hofstadter was writing in the Goldwater era, and I think was even, you could say, inspired by the Mad Hattery of the Goldwater bunch, the Goldwater bugs.
Yeah. Well, he gave rise to a whole lot. I mean, he gave, just like the current weirdo did,
Extremism extremism in defense of patriotism is no vice. Was that the line? And his slogan, in your heart, you know he's right, which the LBJ people then pounced on and said, in your heart, you know he's right, but in your gut, you know he's nuts.
But honest to God, that is so Lunchian. In your heart, that would ring true. I don't want to give them any ideas. That would run. God, that would run right through these people. They would love it. They would eat that shit up like deers on deer corn, man. Come on.
Deer on deer corn? Yeah, for a minute there, I thought you said beer corn. I bet the deer would love some corn that had been soaked in, maybe some cheap-ass Natty Bow or something.
They might. Oh, God, don't even bring that up, man. I came very close.
I don't want no fucked-up bucks stumbling around my acre and maybe getting pissed off at the plate as a reflection in the plate glass window.
Wreck your house up.
Can't handle it.
So, Can't handle it. It's, you know, I'm going to tell you, man, Uncle Joe is doing a great job right now. That's all I can say. He's like, look, people, I'm glad we hadn't talked since he was like, look, man, these people are semi-fascist. And he was being nice about it. But that's what they are. And when you know, it's a bunch of layers here. I don't know if you have been talking about this because, you know, I'm still dealing with probate and just a lot of stuff. As we get older, we have things to deal with, and my life is a little different. But this Ken Burns series, The Holocaust in America, is very interesting. And I think it's in three parts, but, you know, the way it's tied together at the end, after they lay, it's almost like an attorney laying out an argument, and they're just tying the bow at the end, and they show all this shittery, this buffoonery, this disgustingness that we had to deal with around January 6th. And it's like, this is what we're dealing with, folks. Wake the fuck up. Dude, we got the brown shirts are here. They're here.
Yeah.
And it's like the Klan. They don't want you to know, like the Invisible Knights. Like, in other words, they're there. They don't want you to know who they are. But they're here, and they're influential.
Right, and it's that lack of knowledge that forms the basis of the terror. They can be anywhere at any time. That's how they, you know, that's how they were designed to work.
That's their MO, exactly.
The Knight Riders.
Yep. That's it. You know, it's frightening. But these folks, we're in for a little tough haul here. And this Kevin McCarthy with his little weak ass, somebody, he needs to go. I mean, if he really wants to be serious, he must go to a speech therapist to understand how to project his voice. Because he sounds weak. That fucker is weak. And he got a weak message. Sounds weak, but, you know, he's the Speaker of the House. Speaker.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, he's got to do better than that. I mean, I'm not trying to encourage the other side, but I'm just saying, it's like, you know, in the bullshit, his new contract on America with Newt Gingrich in the background, I mean, come on. We did do that. But see, this is who we are. That's the thing. This is not who we want to be, many of us. But in fact, this is who we are right now.
Yeah, this very minute.
Which is why we have to fight, fight, fight. Fight, fight, fight. Be strong and fight. These people are still out trying to divert legitimate elections. For instance, on Jehoshaphat this morning.
Morning, Jehoshaphat. Wait a minute. You can't just drop that. Morning, great jumping Jehoshaphat.
Jumping, see, you got that. That's beautiful. Oh, that's see. You got the joke. You don't miss a beat. So, you know, they're talking about these folks are in Washington State going door to door looking for voter fraud. And I was like, oh, this is the first thing that popped in my head. I'm thinking about, oh, would you maybe go to another state, like in North Carolina, maybe? Did you knock on one of Mark Meadows' houses, doors?
Yeah.
The doors of one of Mark. Because he absolutely committed election fraud. So where's the news about that? How did that shit just fucking evaporate?
I don't know. I guess it went wherever indicting Matt Gaetz for being a sex trafficker went.
Stop doing that shit. That was, stop it. I was about to say it Gaetz worse. That's exactly what I was about to say. Oh, man. Look, woman, I mean, seriously, that was my, and these, you know, they just, it's like, you know what, I'll be honest, and I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying that there's a certain group of white folk, right, that they, I mean, they just think differently. They can be presented with all the facts in the world and they just still don't get it. They don't get it. And the only way they get it is when, because I do this a lot. We're friendly and all that. And I'll say, well, how come, well, why do you do this? And how does that happen? Well, why can't I do that? Well, how come you do this? And then finally they'll say, when they trust you, they say, well, because I'm white. It's like, oh, well, that's it. That explains a lot. And then they get this weird look like the deer, you know, the deer in the headlights. Like, oh. Like, no, I don't hate you. I don't dislike you. I'm saying I need you to, like, break through your little, you got like a barrier. You have a mental barrier. You know, it's really getting in the way of progress here because it's not just you. It's a whole group of folks. We don't hate you, but it's like, you know, get your thought processes together. It ain't all about you all the time. You know, because everyone else, just like kids, that's why one of the reasons we're dealing with the shit we're dealing with mental illness. Kids now see everything we see, but they don't have the tools to deal with it. They can pull up porn, they can pull up news, they can everything. But, you know, who's teaching them how to assimilate this information?
Well, I think you just identified the problem.
Elaborate, please.
Well, they don't see the problem because there's no one there to teach them. You know, why do you think, look, don't think for a minute that Ron Monkey up DeKlantis doesn't know that critical race theory and all of these and the guy who came up with it at the Manhattan Institute, I might add, I think, they know exactly what it is. They know it's an upper level, graduate level, law school level social theory. I mean, theory's in its name, right? It's not the law of critical race. It's a theory. It's subject to testing. But remember that this really gets legs on it with when the New York Times goes forward with the 1619 Project.
Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, was a detailed explanation of how chattel slavery sunk its fangs into the hide of this continent. And this, and by extension, what would become this nation? And they can't have people learning that. They can't have people learning the real untrammeled history of this country, because they might suddenly find out that not only is there a lot that they don't know, there is a lot that they don't know about what's been done to them, too. And so you can't have... If children start learning that this country is flawed, and it is, there ain't no such thing as perfect. You know, that's why the Amish put hex signs on the ends of their barns and you know, made sure one nail was bent or whatever, because... Because God despises human attempts at perfection, and it invites the vengeance of a retributive God. No system is perfect. Everything is flawed. And to point out flaws and point out injustices is not unpatriotic. It is the height thereof. But Republicans cannot exist. They cannot exist, Todd, if people understand what they are really about. And we're back to the ivory tower elites of the Republican Party, the maggot party, and how they feel about the people they want to continue voting for them. I mean, was it Nevada? Was it Nevada in 2016 when the Mussolini of MAGA Loco said, "I love the uneducated voters."
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't lying.
He knew exactly what he was saying. And they clapped and they cheered. Oh, I was like, oh my God. I knew we were done then. I was like, oh my God, you motherfuckers are fucking money.
He made like, he was what stupid people think a smart person sounds like. And he made them proud to be stupid.
It's okay, you're a dumb white asshole motherfucker. It's okay. Go home
I mean,
and beat your wife like Ken Jordan.
I cannot imagine putting a t-shirt on with an arrow pointing at my crotch saying he can grab me by the pussy anytime he wants to. But women did that. They did that.
You know what, Robin? Look here, woman. You hit the nail on the head because, and you know, now that you're different. So you're seen as different in society now. Not that you didn't get it before, but a lot of people don't want to accept this. And I'm only saying this from someone who has the experience, training, education to making, you know, a good observation, I think. And, of course, it's biased because it's me. But, you see, there's a whole cadre of not just older, but white males in general, such as Tucker Carlson. He's a good case in point. They really have a difficult time accepting if they're wrong about something. They're unapologetic. It's not in their makeup to apologize and say, maybe I need to rethink that.
Apologizing to them is weak and feminine.
Well, see, yeah,
to be strong and masculine is to be absolutely hard-headed in the face of your own ignorance.
We have to call a caveman. I mean,
knowing what we know about the Upper Stone Age, that's probably pretty rude to the cavemen.
It is. You're right. Because they survived. They knew. They just didn't know how to live in a cave. Or you know, but it's just a symbolic piece of nomenclature. But yeah, you know, and I find that because what happens is that, you know, the higher up you go in the workplace and you're around these powerful white males, it's like, wow, they really like if you call them on when they're just clearly wrong, they you can see it in their fucking face. It's like, oh, they start turning red. It's like, well, it's okay, man. Like people make mistakes. It's not a big deal. You made a mistake. It's okay. Like everything will be okay. We're going to clear this up. Tomorrow's another day. No, not in their mind. Their shit is all fucked up. Then they got to go to therapy and their fucking health insurance. And it's like, well, it appears that our health insurance account is being drained. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, because two motherfuckers just lost their fucking minds because, you know, they don't have their shit together. I don't understand that. Like, we're that's hubristic behavior. We're all fallible. But there's that manifest destiny shit. I know I talk about it a lot, but it just means something. And I don't hate white people, man, but it's really, and you know, some black folks do it too, some. But in my experience, it's a lot of old, not necessarily old all the time. You know, a lot of white males, if they've been around the old white males, they feel like they just, you know, whatever they do is right. No matter what. It's like, it's okay. It's all right. No, it's not. You're wrong. You need to shut the fuck up and sit down. It's like, we don't hate you, but shut the fuck up because you're absolutely wrong. And this is why shit is fucked up. You know, just like Steve Rattner with, of course, you know, inflation went up, but it's not because you gave people money, it's because the fucking corporations got greedy. They're like, oh, they got money, we're going to go up on prices. Price gouging. That's what that was. In addition to other things, like, you know, like distribution costs. You know, you know, I mean, seriously, we can't let these people try to fool us. This is simple human behavior. And you're going to get me off on a whole lot of tangents on this shit. But we hear people say it all the time. Like, well, make it mandatory where you can make $20 an hour, then everything is going to go up. I'm like, yeah, but okay. So we have a housing crisis. I have friends now who cannot find a place to live. Apartment, house, nothing. They can't even get a cardboard box from Lowe's to live in. You know, because the shit is all fucked up.
Yeah, it is. And there are two words. Candace Owen.
Oh, she ain't no hope.
Two more words. Herm Cain.
Mm-hmm. Well, once again, opportunity. You know, in any group of people, period, you're always going to have a certain amount of going to be slackers, a certain amount of going to be grifters, and a certain amount, which is most people, are going to work hard to try to make the group better. Right? But it's those outliers that I just described that they drag the group down, which is exactly why small group learning, small group things work. That's the Japanese figured out when Dr. Deming brought American auto manufacturing over to Japan because they didn't want to hear about it over here. He brought it to Japan, and all of a sudden, oh, they're producing all these damn good cars that were cheap and reliable. Because, you know, it didn't fit the culture over here. You know, they had teams. You know, see, it's hard to hate people. It's, you know, when you work in it, it's really, it's like a group of four people, this idea, for everything. A lot of it. You know, five people most. That's probably five people for the most. You can work problems out. You know, you got somebody to record, you know, everybody to put their ideas together, and they get together with the other teams. It just works. It's like a pod. You know, and if you think about it, we're mammals such as us, we're meant to be in pods. That's what neighborhoods are. We end up being in pods. P-O-D-S. This is why these rural middle America folks understand, like, you can't vote. You just don't walk into a place and vote. I don't care if you live in the largest, most popular city in the country. Motherfuckers know you. They see you. You're not just anonymous. You got to go to the deli. You go to the store. They know, like, if you stick out, they're going to answer for your life. If not, they know you. They see you in their neighborhood. Because we live in pods. Because we're mammals. We're not that advanced. We're not as smart as we think we are. You know,
we are curious primates.
Out. That thing. That's a cowbell. That's a cowbell.
Well, thank you.
No, it is.
We are hairless apes with surprisingly developed brains. We evolved speech. But we still, you know, but that amygdala is still back there. And it still does amygdala things. You know, the atavistic response resides in the amygdala.
And it's way too close.
The thing, you know, that thing that makes us be revolted by the smell of rotting meat. Or, you know, come close to puking at, you know, unexpectedly stepping in feces. Or religious traditions dealing with how you have to what you have to do when you've been exposed to blood. Those are atavistic responses. Wow, is that the popcorn, or did I just get a little ding back there?
Oh, that's wrong. That's it.
But you know, that's the meaning of the word atavism and atavistic. And I don't know where or how, and I can only guess it's with the rise of the patriarchy, that we've, you know, that is where that arises in societies. I mean, Lord God only knows, certain religions are absolutely obsessed with menstrual blood. When it's just when it's just a human process, it's essential. It's essential to half of the species. And you know,
they hate women.
Oh well, yeah. But they also hate gay men, and they hate lesbians. They hate bisexuals. They hate pansexuals. They hate anybody who is not cis, het, and well, white and Christian. If we're not talking about not, if we're not talking about non-Christian, but it also exists outside of Christian societies or Christian-dominated societies.
That's why they didn't want sports integrated, because it was like, oh, more competition. It's not that, that black folks were inheriting, you know, bigger and stronger and faster. It's just like, oh, there's more competition.
No, but they but Major League Baseball. Oh my God, how did we get to Major League Baseball? Major League Baseball found itself on the horns of a dilemma. Because on the one hand, they were watching players like Cool Papa Bell playing in the Negro Leagues, who was the dream of every Major League Baseball owner. And, you know, Satchel Paige came out of the Negro Leagues, and nobody ever really knew how old he was when he was finally playing Major League Baseball.
He was old as a motherfucker, man. He was pushing 60.
And... But and so on the one hand, Jesus, they wanted these guys. On the other hand, Jesus, they didn't want these guys. See, the integration of Major League Baseball had been attempted previously. I think the Reds, Cincinnati Reds, brought in a Cuban baseball player. And everybody else had a fit because Cuban. And the Reds went so far as to trace his paternity and his maternity and his lineage, and then presented a letter saying to the commissioner saying he, there wasn't even a commissioner back then, but to the owners saying he is as white as a bar of Castile soap.
Well, Castilian, see, right, that's where our.
And they still at. They still did not allow his ass to play baseball.
He got in. I don't know. Well, what year was that? Because there was somebody way back.
Oh, it's like the 1890s.
Right. That's the same person. Right. See, they didn't teach us that in school. Like, in other words, unless you went to college or university, you might not get that full story about the difference between.
And again, there's so much out. I mean, it's impossible just to learn the received wisdom of acceptable history. You really have to bust your ass to find out the real history.
I mean,
thank God for what Howard Zinn did with the People's History of the United States.
And they hated his ass. They still hate his fucking ass, buddy.
Yeah, you know, yeah, like, they do, because he told. You know, he gutted the lies.
You know, I remember when my father came home and he was like, I finally got it. I got it. We're going to get it for all the kids now. He came home with Howard Zinn, you know, because he was what they call a master's plus 30, which means I guess you're almost ABD, like all the doctors. But, so he, you know, he was a great history teacher. And, you know, so he came home with all, you know, and he was like, oh, God, I'm so happy. Because that was, you know, when he came out with that, they didn't like that. And on top of his down...
Well, nobody wanted, you know, white America definitely did not want to find out that the first Thanksgiving was celebrated in thanks to Almighty God for letting him slaughter some indigenous people.
Can't have that.
Nope, see, that's got to go.
All right, now I'm trying to steer away from being too personal on your program, but I had...
You don't have to save your relatability for your friends. You just go right ahead.
Well, I appreciate that. But so I sponsored a program through my job not long ago, last month. That was the topic, was critical race theory. And I had the former mayor of where I live and an attorney who teaches about this in addition to practicing law, right? And
guessing he's not teaching first grade.
No, oh, you should. It was more of a history lesson. And people, listen, people were hanging on every word. The people that attended, they had to add chairs. But the problem is that I sent an individual email to every principal in this county, the superintendent, anyone I thought was in the educational community that was influential. Not one of them showed up. Not one. Not one.
No, of course not.
Well, but see, this is happening in our school boards. They should.
They also.
There.
They also don't. They also don't show up to satanic black masses either.
Well,
and they view them in the same light. When all critical race theory is, and ever has been, is the teaching of the actual history.
That's not that complicated. Exactly. That's all it is. I'm sorry, see, once again, facts and feelings.
You know. They don't like it when people bring up Rosewood and Wilmington and Tulsa. They hate that shit.
Well, you know, that's too bad. You know, those are your feelings. Don't make me, you know, don't involve me with your feelings.
Yeah, wait, isn't that their motto? Fuck your feelings.
We ain't like that. Don't be suck it up, flower. What is it? Suck it up, buttercup. And
snowflake.
Snowflake. Yeah, you're too weird. Yeah, I told you some shit you don't like to hear. Oh, isn't that interesting? Oh, okay. So, you know, you got to beat them over the head with facts. You know, meanwhile, they're drinking homemade liquor and they got self-loaded cartridges and guns and. Yeah, you know, but this is what we're dealing with, and I just want Mark Meadows to be prosecuted because that's a big deal. They're looking for a voter. I don't know. I'm going back full circle here, but since they are so concerned about voter fraud, it appears to me, and in fact, the empirical evidence would suggest that the voter fraud is actually committed by the folks, you know, on their side. Malfeasance, voter fraud.
Oh, they will cheat every opportunity they get, and twice on Sunday.
Just like the dim leader, just like their leader, who's dimmer than the other guy. You know, I mean, Bush. Look at Bush now. He looks like cordial. Good God, he's a fucking freak. Yeah, so you know, we can't accept this bullshit. And I'm sorry people's feelings are hurt. You know, get your feelings out of this shit. And I'm not inclined to make people feel good anymore. Black folks are not here to make shitty ass white people feel good about themselves. Fuck that. Especially, I mean, for me.
Wait, you've been talking to Tracy, and she radicalized you. I'm kidding.
No, I mean, seriously. It's like, you know, because if you think about it, they're used to that. That's why they don't want to admit it. But you see, a lot of these people, their parents, they were suckled on black titty milk. You know, that's why they love their mammy, you know, because they've been sucking on that fucking breast milk. So if you want to really go down that road, you know, we're all related. So you need to shut the fuck up. That bullshit. You know, stop it. Everybody's here, man. Most people are trying to do the right thing. We've got, you know, malcontents in every culture, every community, everywhere. You look, there are malcontents. And people just don't want to, you know, don't want to do right. There's nothing wrong. I mean, that's just what happens. Once again, back to small. If you randomly select 10 people, two of them are going to be fucked up. That's just the way shit is. Randomly, you know, do a good sample, the sample size. So, what really has been on your mind?
I kind of mentioned it earlier, but I mean, I talked about it on Friday on the front porch, and I'm sure people are sick of hearing about it by now. I think I tend to think women probably understand a little better. But my head got severely fucked with on Thursday night.
What?
You know, the guy, you know, the hate. You know, guy got his ass thrown out of a bar for looking at me and speaking to me like he wanted me to fucking die. What the fuck is wrong with you? And when they threw him out, he kind of went over and squared up straight across from me like he wanted to come at me. And, you know, they got him out of the bar. Then I had to wait. I was leaving. You know, I went in, saw my friend, said, hey, just popping by. I just wanted to see you. Because I like to see people. I'm kind of a little social animal. Always have been. And I was just saying goodnight to the bartender, and he stared at me and stared at me and stared at me, and then finally, you know, what the fuck is wrong with you?
And just like
kept,
that.
And just, yeah, and just kept staring with something
glaring
that can,
you down.
With something that can only be described as the most profound hatred. And thank God my friends responded the way they did. Beginning with the bartender, a dear friend, who said, "Leave her alone."
Oh, you're right.
Actually, it was you. Leave her alone. And he was, you know, he was an out of towner, and he was from Ohio, and he was there to go whitewater rafting down the gully with his buddies, and I guess they did. But it messed with my head, and it's still messing with my head. And I had a very long and intense session with my therapist about it today, because I didn't feel safe, and it has cut drastically into my ability to feel safe. Because I had just gotten done with a trip in which I, you know, and I passed everywhere I went, and then, you know, that one asshole just blew it all up. And, you know, think just, so that's, you know, I mean, other things are on my mind too. I mean, you know, you it's like we did from 2016 to 2020 with Trump. You wake up in the morning and like, okay, what's going to happen today? You know, is it going to be a massacre at a school? Is Putin going to push the button? If he uses a tactical nuke in Ukraine, what do we do? And is that a there goes the neighborhood? That's another thing. I had a dream the other day, and I've talked a lot about how I dream. I dream really vividly.
Yeah, you dream disturbing.
And it was so sad. Because I was outside, and I saw in the far distance a mushroom cloud. And I knew that the balloon had gone up. And I just stood there waiting for the shockwave to hit and the heat. And I knew it was over.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
And that's like the second or third one of those I've had in the last year or so.
Whoa, shit.
And I had a professor in college, Dr. Peterson, in the College of Arts and Sciences. And he was actually doing a survey and a study and an analysis. And he's long since gone, but I'd love to know what came of it. He asked his students to tell him or to just give brief descriptions anytime they had a nuclear Holocaust dream. Because he was trying to see what kind of impact the Cold War was having, in particular, on young people. And I never had those back.
Did he have everybody fill out a survey? Like, anybody who came across him?
Yeah, anybody, you know, if you have, please, you know, share your information. You'll be anonymous.
That's beautiful. That's some good shit. Yeah.
And I never did back then. And this was, of course, 1983, 1984, the height of the Cold War.
Right.
And, you know, the bellicose saber-rattling from old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan. But here I am in the last year, and I've had him, and I wonder why. And they're really terrifying. They're just and they're so sad, because you know it's such a shitty and miserable way to end a species. Not that they're particularly any good ones, but that's the kind of stuff that's in my head right now. I need a vacation. I badly need a vacation, like you know, a nice long one, 2 weeks or so of just listening to the surf on sand and walking around amongst the butterflies down on the Gulf. But that ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, the butterflies. But you know what you're talking about is very important, because there's a podcast out there called Wondery, and they tackle a bunch of different. It's called American Scandal by Wondery, and you know we were young, we were in the same age, and we were young when Watergate. I mean, you're probably pretty attuned to what was going on, I would think.
Yeah, by 1973, I was 10. And it was on every day, and
yeah,
if my dad was at work, my mom and I would watch it. If he was home, we'd all watch it together, and we'd talk about what was going on. And my dad, I knew he was a crook from the beginning, and he's a crook.
And then see, Roger Stone was there. That fucker, he was involved. He's from my area of the woods. You know, that's where he's from suburban Philadelphia. And we lived there, you know. But you know, that has a legacy. And these folks have never given it up. They're still angry. It's like they embrace. It's like Margaret Thatcher was like Reagan and Brit Hume in a dress, you know, mixed together. You know?
Oh, God. Oh, and by the way, you and I were talking about Candy Owens and Herm Cain, Herb, as Sarah Palin called him. Clarence just wrote, say hi to Clarence.
Clarence, man, I've been thinking about you for real.
Two more words, Clarence says. Sellouts. Owens and Cain sounds like a TV private eye show. The plot is they're searching for their blackness. Cain is dropped from the cast, and Owens is still trying to find a lead. Cowbell for you, Clarence.
I mean, I thought Clarence had stopped tuning in. I hadn't heard him in a while. Man, I'm so glad to hear from him.
Well, you know, Clarence has only called once.
But he's listening because he knows exactly where I used to wait, like when I would get off work at Templeman and I'm going back to Germantown. And he knows exactly at Broad Deer, you got Max. I mean, it's just, that's the, man, I'm telling you, it's a lot of shit going on. We had a little debate about, you know, drug activity in the area. But you go east, I mean, that's what, you know, the big weight is. Like, anyway, I'm not
going to
get into all that. But,
yeah,
thank, you know.
Yeah. Owens and Cain. Cain and Owens. Or maybe there could be a show about exhuming Herb, and it could be called Raising Cain. Ah!
Raising Cain. You know.
I'm ashamed.
You see what happened here? Don't be. Right, like, I'm sick of these people, man. It's like all it does. Because that's what happens here. They prop these people up like that. You know, and say, oh, well, slavery wasn't that bad. You see, we got this black pig. They hold up one black person. And like, oh, okay. So, like, that's supposed to exonerate all this other bullshit. You know, no, it's not that simple. It's really not that simple. And you know what? I'm so glad you brought that up, because that brings me back to something you brought up earlier. In that, you know, there's a difference. When we talk about American blacks being enslaved and which white slavery, which of course happened, and the washerwoman scandals in Ireland and things of that nature,
only because there's a legacy that we have to live through worldwide as Black people because we were enslaved in America. And there's a definite legacy that other groups don't have to suffer through.
No, no. Same for, you know, and there's a different legacy for indigenous people. By the way, Jude wrote in and said, I'm just leaving work and I tune in and oh my goodness, it's Brother Todd's voice. Made my day. Send my very best to him and his better half and his mother. So that's from Jude.
Oh, that's big.
Thank you, Jude.
Thank you, Jude.
And thank you, Theo. Theo out in the Great Northwest said, a large Zen hug to you in a difficult hour, Robin. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I don't mean to make too much out of it. And like I said, it's easy to look at it and say, well, you know, nothing really happened, did it? Well, yeah, something did. Something happened to my sense of safety.
Well, that, because it, okay, yeah. We're going back. Yeah. You know, because, see, this is the thing. I remember, you know, I pay attention. I listen, but I also attend. And you went for months with just a wonderful reception. You didn't have any problems. You know, you didn't have any, I mean, according to your reports, you didn't have any problems. And then he got to put up with this bullshit. I hope it was not at the sandwich place.
Oh, no, it was at my little watering hole. Secret Sandwich will be reopening soon, by the way, so I will be getting my fries and pimento cheese.
Okay, good. So, but you had to go across the river, or just on your side of the river?
No, I had to go across the river. I was running an errand, and I just popped in to say hi to my friends and, you know, just see people and, you know.
See, you know, people, you got to go out your way to be you know, to be evil and nasty. What the fuck? You know, people get tired of that. People get tired of being, I don't have to tell you, but, you know, it's just, why do folks waste energy? If you don't like someone, leave them alone. Just walk away. Unless they're directly influencing your life directly, have something to do with
interacting. Yeah, I wasn't interacting with him. I was interacting with the bartender. You know, just, hey, it's always so nice to see you. I hope you have a wonderful evening. And, you know, see you later. That's all it was. And I mean,
you know,
I could literally feel his stare at me. And when I first noticed he was staring, I was like, I looked over my shoulder because I thought there was something going on behind me. But he was staring at me.
You could feel that shit.
And staring at people is just not nice.
Well, no, it's aggressive. If you stare like a hetero man, if you stare at a woman too long, you better say something like, "Hey, baby, how you doing?" You better say something, otherwise you're like a weirdo stalker or something, you know. But stop it. It's called creep. But yeah, you know, that's wrong. That, you know, and you shouldn't have to deal with that.
I mean, it made me wonder if there's any women in his life at home, and if there are, I feel sorry for them.
You could have been a statistic.
Yeah, I could have.
Or you could have beat his ass and then had to, you know, because when you get in a fight, you know, street fight, they lock everybody up. If the cops are around, otherwise you just get out, you know, just move on.
Yeah, it is. I had a cable problem there for a second. Hopefully it resolved. Are you still there?
Yeah. It sounds like a truck was going by. That's interesting.
Oh, and I had a note from Jake in Columbus. I'm just about to watch part two of America and the Holocaust, and I was struck at how similar the path Germany took and the path we are possibly headed on are so remarkably similar. Stark and downright chilling to me. Also showed me this shit has been going on in this country since the turn of the century at least. Of course blacks suffered for centuries under the white Aryan man. Trump is definitely an acolyte, if not spiritual figure, of Hitler. This cannot happen here. Let me rephrase. Trump is an acolyte of Hitler, who is probably the only allegedly supreme being he worships, except maybe Satan. Thank you, Jake. And so, I mean, there we are. Hey, let me do something here. Let me bring on the stress line. I'm sorry. It goes dark, and I forget there's somebody there. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening to you and Todd, Robin.
Hey, Dave. How are you, Beth?
I'm doing good. I have a hitter from Ohio headquarters. Christine sent me a message reading about $50.
Okay, you're a little bit muddled, Dave. Is there anything you can do on your end?
Hold on a second. Give me a second.
Okay.
I said I have orders from higher.
There.
Yes, it is, Todd. Yes, it is, Todd.
Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Dave in the Vine.
Yeah, it's Dave in the Vine. Well, I am mostly, two liters of cola in 24 hours. I'm going to be up for a while. Christine and I were talking earlier this afternoon. She goes, are you going to be calling in to Robin? And I'm like, well, normally I wait until later in the week. And then she goes, well, when you do talk to her, tell her I said hello.
Oh, hey, like, Christine.
Okay. All right. But, y'all, they're still doing it. They've not stopped in, you know, and this is just a continuation of the bullshit. There's a reason that the American Boon was popular in a certain segment of the American populace. And we really do have a problem in dealing with humanity as a country because of this idea that because I'm white, I'm right. It's a historical thing, and that's why they're attacking history classes. Remember, I studied this shit in college. I've done the research. When I talk about it, I don't talk about it from a point of view of making somebody feel anything. If anything, I try to make them think or to put themselves in the period of time I'm talking about. Because when you look at it from a perspective, 200 years from now, people are going to be looking at us and going, well, people back then thought, and that's a little overly broad. However, these white supremacists, there's a reason why people are buying into this whole, if you're having heterosexual sex, it's gay, is because that kind of nonsense attracts the disaffected. It happened in Germany. It happened in Japan in the 20s and 30s. It really, is a fascism problem. And us just calling it out isn't going to do a goddamn thing. They're not going to accept the vote, but we have to vote. We have to make it absolutely
the only hope we have is to vote in such overwhelming numbers that they cannot deny it. Even when they deny it. Does that make sense?
It makes absolute sense. And whether you're black, brown, disabled, gay, straight, whatever, you have to get out there and vote. And not just for yourself, for your children, for your families, for your friends, for the people you don't even know. because, and I know I've said this many times on this program before, when fighting for your rights, you have to fight as if those rights belong to you, even if the majority or those claiming to be the majority are saying that that's a privilege. That's why I advocate for universal citizen suffrage.
Right.
Because that would get rid of a lot of fucking gerrymandering. If you're a citizen of the United States over the age of 18, the only thing the state really needs to worry about is, have you been living in your district long enough to vote in that district?
Right.
You know, the thing is, and I've had this conversation with my right-wing relatives. Go ahead, Ty. You were about to say something?
It's so nice to hear from you, and I think you may have a very good point about folks are identifying and reaching out to the disaffected. And the thing is that the hard part is possibly, it seems to me, from an economic standpoint, we're going to have more disaffected people because things are more automated by the second now. I mean, we just are going to have, we have not retooled our workforce and folks are going to be left out. I'm around people who they're illiterate. Some people, I'm around a lot of people who are illiterate or semi-illiterate. They cannot operate any programs or software or anything like that. What are they going to do?
Todd, my niece is in her 30s. Her daughter turns 11 in a few days. She cannot tell time on an analog clock. She has to have a digital clock because she cannot tell time the way you and I were taught or that Robin was taught how to tell time. We know what the big hand and the little hand mean. You know, we were taught that when we were tykes, you know. And I'm not saying everything the way we were taught is automatically the best, but the idea of the internet being the great leveler it could have been 20 years ago if it had been used properly, but it's being used as an electronic babysitter. And when you do that, there's no thinking involved. My sister, who's even more liberal than I am, if you can believe that, has a son who's an avid Trump supporter. Trump is always right. The kid's 22 years old, or will be next year.
Oh, Jesus.
And when my sister, who is a school teacher, asked him to defend his position, he came back, "Well, being a conservative in this family is like saying you're gay." And she goes, "I don't care if you are, but if you've got a political position, you damn well better be able to articulate it." You know, my sister is involved in the teachers' labor movement on a national level. She's been teaching for 30 years almost, you know, and she teaches third graders. And that is a critical age for education. She had one kid that she, told me about last year. Kids reading at a high-end high school, early college level. And since I had the same situation when I was growing up, she said, what kind of books do I recommend that he might be interested in? So I gave her some, he likes fantasy books, with Percy Jackson stuff and stuff like that. I said, give him The Hobbit and explain to him who wrote it and why. And when you look at, and I've been reading like the Silmarillion and things like that that Tolkien wrote, it's really the backstory. When you realize that Tolkien was simply writing out his inner life, how he saw the universe, professionally, he was one of the top scholars in Anglo-Saxon poetry. He had done some major research on Beowulf, and I had a
professor. And all the Icelandic sagas. Excuse me.
Oh, God. And he said if Tolkien had done nothing else in his career, he would have been known for that. But when you look at and you compare the people that were around him, C.S. Lewis was a friend of his, and he had encouraged Lewis to write the Narnia stories. And he had been raised by a Jesuit priest who absolutely forbade him from dating until he was 21. Because he wanted Tolkien to enter the priesthood. The good Padre didn't get his wish. However, Tolkien's son Francis did become a priest. And things like that. And you have people who want to claim something that doesn't exist.
Well, you remind me of a couple of things. You were talking about his skills as a translator. Of course, that all begins with learning the classics, Latin and Greek. And then there is a version. There's a version of the Bible out there, though, called the Jerusalem Bible. And it's a fascinating read. It has books that aren't in the canonical Bible. And among other things, scholars from all over the world contributed their translation skills because it is translated from the Septuagint, which is in Greek.
That's pretty heavy. Oh, yeah.
And lo and behold, J.R.R. Tolkien provided the translation of Job. And to read that translation, yeah. To read that translation of Job side by side with the King James Job is quite a critical. Then that's what it's called, you know, biblical critical analysis. It's quite a thing to go through. Absolutely fascinating. And of course,
I remember talking to.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
No.
I remember talking to a friend of mine who was a Roman Catholic priest, and we were talking about the Book of Job. And he said, well, what do you think of it? I said, it reminds me of a Greek play. And he goes, well, why is that? I said, because when you look at the way his friends react, they're acting like a Greek chorus.
Well, yeah, and the difference, though, is that, you know, in Greek tragedies, there's always hubris, there's always a tragic flaw, and yet with Job, He doesn't have it. He's just a nice guy. But the other similarity is that in both instances, the deities fuck with human beings for no other reason than because they can. And that's it. But I was also gonna mention it's interesting you bring up Tolkien, because oh my God, the same people that have hissies about everything else are having a hissy about the new Lord of the Rings show on Amazon Prime. There ain't no black elves.
Because of the black elves.
Yeah, there ain't no black elves. There ain't no black dwarves. There ain't no black Harfoots in Lord of the Rings. Ain't nowhere in there. He says, yeah, well, you know, he also doesn't say they're white either. Never mind the fact that it's a fantasy realm. And the South and the Southrons were described as swarthy.
Well, see, the thing is, I am a gamer of long standing. And for those of us who live in that world, the idea of a black elf is not that unusual or even that foreign. I mean, I remember when they had a hissy in one of the Star Trek movies when some of the Vulcans were black. And, you know, it's amazing that people ascribe things to people like Tolkien that he had absolutely nothing to do with. You know, if you look closely at The Lord of the Rings, there's a lot of Catholic imagery.
Oh, for
in,
no
in
heavens,
those
yes.
Stories. I mean, the idea of Gandalf sacrificing himself is nothing less than the Christ figure. You know, and he comes back and he's all white from the gray, and you know, all of this imagery. And you know, I grew up Catholic for the first 12 years of my life. I understand.
And you've been in recovery ever since.
That, well, yes, it is what it is, and I can't deny that it still influences me to this day, even though I'm a devout atheist. But my sense of justice and my sense of doing for others is directly related to what the nuns taught me in second grade. You know, that it is an obligation to do for others. And this right wing, I've got mine, you get yours, I'm going to destroy any social safety net. I got news for you. I've been listening to the Great Courses thing on Tudor England. And when Henry broke from the church in Rome, they had to come up with a way of dealing with the poor, because all the monasteries and all the church institutions had been destroyed. And they had to deal with people who could no longer help themselves. So they passed a poor law for the, and this is a quotation, please don't kill the messenger, the deserving poor.
Oh yeah.
They didn't recognize that people, that the economy was in shambles. And that otherwise able-bodied people were out of work through no fault of their own. The deserving poor were identified as the disabled, the widows, the children, people who couldn't do for themselves, or so it was believed.
You guys brought up just two great points, I think, you and Robin, because when you ask a Bible thumper, because I do this all the time, I say, well, what Bible are you talking about? And it looked like Like they got, you know, like what? Like, oh, well, I mean, I'm saying, what Bible are you talking about? You know, then they're all, they get those, you know, they get all stupid because they don't understand. To them, there's only one Bible. And I'm like, yeah, well, that's not the case. But I don't see you going to church. I'm like, yeah, because, you know, I don't need to. But apparently I know more about what you're professing to be than you do. And then what you're talking about, Dave, it's about perception. These people, they call themselves Christians, and it's like you are doing exactly. Jesus was a hippie. He was probably doing every drug on the face.
He was a Palestinian murder victim. I mean, for sake. Yeah, now and now
have a real fake business.
And that, right, yeah, that was a real, yeah. And now, of course, there is a segment of maggot world that is engaging in his deification. You know, back years ago, we referred to him as their God Emperor, and apparently he is.
Oh, that's how they address him now.
Yeah,
I heard a news report that is very common among the MAGA tree to refer to Donald Trump as the God Emperor or the God King.
I mean,
and
Jesus.
I'm thinking to myself, Christianity started. There might have been 20 people who believed Jesus was the Son of God. And then 4 centuries later, they ruled an empire.
Well, that's what marketing will do for you. That's what Paul what he pulled off. But I'm going to shift gears here because I need to send out some thank yous. I need to say thank you to Brandon and Fennell, and I need to say thank you to our buddy Dennis in Columbus, who wrote a note on the back of his envelope and said, I love your conversations with Scott in San Diego. Thank you. Thank you, Dennis. And so the fundraising goal is now down to 1620. Wow. Such interesting numbers. 1620, Plymouth Rock, all of that stuff. And there we were talking about American history. And just because I got to wrap things up, I'm going to go back to where I started. You might recall, I don't know if you probably, I know you heard this, Dave, what I was talking about with baby boys bathing with their mothers, that business.
Oh, yes.
Well,
does that mean because I was born early, I'm more masculine than he is?
Probably because... so, but it's about to get much more complex. I mean, these fuckers.
Oh, God.
And I mean, and they're not. You know, these aren't parody posts. This isn't satire. This isn't The Onion. These are real human beings out there thinking these things. Believing, not thinking. Certainly not thinking, but believing. So here's the other side of the baby boys can't bathe with their mamas because the femininity gets all over them. Well, this... And again, this is all part of it. This shit's not fringe anymore. I mean, I know how this fucker votes, okay?
Yeah.
If my baby girl is breastfed, will her odds of being lesbian increase? How do I make it stop?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
That's just the title. My wife and I just... That's just the title. Get the hockey...
Okay.
Get the hockey puck.
Hockey puck warning is... Yeah,
yeah, it's in effect.
I'm going for a shitload of those.
My wife and I just had a girl. His wife and I... Him, yeah. Our first was a boy. He is now 3 years old, and he was breastfed. I had no problem with the breastfeeding. Now with the baby girl, I figured she would be breastfed too. I had no problems with that until I saw her being breastfed. It's been about 2 weeks, and I can't get rid of this feeling that she's going to turn out to be lesbian. She really attacks my wife's boobs more so than my boy when he was a baby. It just doesn't seem right, and I can't help but wonder if this is how lesbians are made. I fear she will be lesbian if she isn't bottle fed. Does anyone have any advice or experience here? Is this an act of lesbianism? Should I stay pissed at my wife for what she's doing to my child? The arguing is getting intense. I hate the idea of someone's tits being forced in my baby girl's face.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
How stupid can you be?
Well, how disgustingly... They post all over the place about the sexual...
Before Bibles were invented.
Well, but they post all over the place about the sexualization of children.
Sounds like that's exactly what he's doing.
It is exactly what he's doing. Do you remember when Nitwit Nero, when Tifania was a baby? And he did an interview with Marla, and he said,
I sure hope she has big boobs like her mama does.
I definitely hope she has big boobs
like her
mama.
Yeah, that was almost as disgusting as when he told people that, what was it, his youngest daughter was, if she weren't my daughter, I'd be dating her.
I think that was Iwanka.
That's the kind of... Yeah, and the thing is, the year after he dies, I guarantee you both of those girls are going to be writing a book saying, yeah, Dad did this and this and this and this to me. Oh, I guarantee it's going to happen.
Actually, it's after the will is probated, Dave.
Oh, is that it? Yeah. Well, yeah. But why would you want to inherit his debt?
Because he's got some shit squirreled away too. You can bet your ass that's part of the lawsuit, I think, which may have criminal implications. We're now learning. And hey, here's an update. Thank you to Darlene in Connecticut. NASA crashes spacecraft into asteroid, passing planetary defense test. They hit. That's a hell of an accomplishment.
They hit the rock they were aiming at?
They hit the rock they were aiming at.
Good.
The 14,000-mile-per-hour collision of a small spacecraft into an asteroid was NASA's first test of a potential planetary defense technology.
Did it work as they had expected?
Yes. It passed the test.
They've been lying to us for so long. That's why I know Richard Hoagland was on that right-wing freaks program late at night when I was doing what I wasn't supposed to be doing and I was up. But the fucker was right. There's been water on Mars forever. Forever.
Yeah, there's water. There's water ice at the poles.
Yeah. I mean, but there's now.
But when they lost their atmosphere, all the surface water evaporated.
But they have a core and it's warm and there's vapor escaping, and they found vapor clouds. There's a lot of stuff going on now, and now we have the more powerful telescope, and we do. America does have the capability of building durable vehicles, because that rover, man, it was built for X amount of months and it lasted for years. And now, you know, and we're finding out more and more, you know, and space news is good. The space news is interesting and good. And stuff is getting close to us.
And you got to wonder, I mean, you know, A, there's a lot of radiation in space. We know that. So, you know, this thing didn't have a payload. This is just pure kinetic energy, as far as I understand it. this was just a crash. But what happened?
There is a problem with colonizing.
Well, I'm not talking. No, but
and that is,
I'm thinking more in terms of diverting a rock. You know.
Oh.
You know, maybe we could finally put a good use to some of those massive ICBMs.
Right. There's been a number of asteroids that have been very close to us in the past 2 years. A number of them. And they've just been missing us. And, you know, it gets, you know, if you're only paying attention, you see it. It's, like, really close. So this whole endeavor has been stepped up about intercepting these asteroids or large chunks of rock coming toward us. You know, but...
I wonder if the dinosaurs would have wanted that.
I'm sorry, Dave. Can you repeat that? I didn't understand.
I said, I wonder if the dinosaurs would have wanted something like that.
Might have come in handy.
Well, it's only science, but apparently, you know, the folks we don't agree with, they don't want people to be too educated because there's too, you know, too much book learning and all that fancy shit. So.
All that reading and writing and arithmetic.
Well, if they're reading, they ain't reading. So, and we want lots of people for conflict. Never mind that overpopulation adds to the violence and the conflict.
Yeah, never mind. There's that.
Just saying.
Well, I got to get out of here, y'all. It's been a great conversation.
Right.
Y'all have been just fantastic, and we'll have to do this again.
Todd, as usual, it's great to talk to you again, man.
Dave,
I can't wait to do this again.
Me either, and Robin and Dave, and I'm going to sign off. Thank you guys so much. Thank you people so much, and Dave, you sounded great tonight, and I wish you and Christine the best.
Oh, that's
so, thank you, Todd. I'll let her know.
Todd, you have a great night.
Good night, Robin. Good night, everybody.
See you, Todd. See you, Dave.
Stay safe.
Hear, hear. Bye. And so we come to the... yeah. Hey, Micah. What? I know. I mean, it's like, I don't know, it's like one of those Attenborough documentaries wandering around in all this men's rights shit and MGTOWs and incels, and it'll make your eyes cross, but, you know, I do it so you don't have to. Jesus. So thanks, everybody. Thanks for keeping us from having a $2,000 fundraising hole tomorrow. We will be at... 1920. Wow. That's the year of my aunt and uncle's birth. Thank you. Thanks to all of our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiteroadsociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know. The folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and now a proud union shop for 9 months now. And, hey, a quick update. Check my Facebook page, but the brilliant documentary, Devil Put the Coal in the Ground, will be screening in Minneapolis, in the Twin Cities, in Minneapolis, and it will also be screening in Cumberland, Maryland, at film festivals there. God, it's going to be screening in Austria and Finland. It's really, really making the rounds. It is an impressive film. If you get a chance to see it, please do. And whenever I hope it gets picked up by some streaming platform and everybody can see it. It is a profound piece of filmmaking. Please stay safe. Get your boosters. Annette and I will be getting ours soon. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Wear your masks when you're out among the great maggot unwashed. Maintain your social distance. Use your hand sanitizer. And you know, if you happen to run across Clanny Oakley or Marginal Trailer Queen, and they're babbling about how happy they are that fascism is back in Italy and Sweden, particularly Italy, well, you know, the standard disclaimer applies. Avoid them like the plague. Because they are. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.